And I'm pretty sure that all the Roman soldiers were on high alert. They had to be. Because things could get out, can get wild, especially with a crowd of people. So he's on his toes. And when he heard that Jesus was coming on a donkey and hundreds of people were praising him and saying that he is king, I'm pretty sure he was there overlooking this because here is an opportunity for an insurrection. This could have been a great time for the people getting into a mad frenzy, but instead, he witnessed that Jesus came on a donkey with no sword. Just came in. And I'm pretty sure that he heard the many stories that were happening throughout that week. Maybe the story of him coming into the temple and taking table, money changer's table, and just flipping it. See, that information has to get out to the Roman soldiers because they're watching, they're listening, they're on their toes because they don't want anything happening, and the centurion soldier was experiencing this in some way. But also what we heard and we found that when Jesus was brought to the Sanhedrin and was put before the trial of those religious leaders, that when he was brought to Pilate, that many people believed that the centurion soldier was right there witnessing all of it. The words of Jesus Christ. He's listening to him, realizing that this person could be innocent. Because he heard many times when people would scream out that they're innocent of a crime that they've been accused, but somehow something is happening to his soul, to his spirit, that he realizes, my goodness, this person may be the person that is innocent. And I'm pretty sure he witnessed the phenomenal torturing and the beating of Jesus Christ. And I'm pretty sure that God was using that to work on his heart and his mind. And then he was a part of the oversight that we know when it comes to the crucifixion. And as Jesus was walking through Jerusalem, holding on to that cross, I believe that he was witnessing this too. A person who was so beat up, so torn up, with a crown of thorns in his head as he is stumbling through Jerusalem. It was speaking to his heart. It was speaking to his mind, to his soul. And when they put him on that cross and he was able to witness all the things that were around him. See, this was profound for the centurion soldier. This was so profound that God uses an opportunity to open up the eyes and heart of the centurion soldier who was a hardened person, who was a heathen, who believed that Mars, the king of war, was a god he served. And Roman soldiers normally had Mars, the king of God, as their god, a god of strength, a god of power. So he's witnessing this. He's seeing this. I'm pretty sure he overheard maybe the words that Jesus gave to the thief on the cross, witnessing his mercy, his grace, and how he responded to the disciples, how he responded to the religious leaders, always with mercy and grace. Then something happened, and I'd like to go ahead and reread a part of this. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. He made a confession that this is not just a great teacher, a great leader, but somehow everything came together and he realized this was the Messiah. This is the one that people were yelling at, mad at, and crucified for him because he spoke as he was God and he was Messiah. It all came together and he confessed himself, yes, this is the Son of God. Something happened to his heart. Something happened to his life. Completely transformed that person. One of the most unlikely people to be transformed, A Jewish person is a little different. A Jewish person has heard the stories of the Messiah. The Jewish person have heard all the wonderful laws of God, has even experienced the love of God through the stories and through Scripture. But this person was so far removed from the Jewish faith. God did something to that heart, to the heart, the mind, the soul of that centurion soldier, which seemed impossible, ridiculous, for a person of his character and his quality would ever be transformed because of Jesus. He confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. And 3 days later, he was able to celebrate. He was able to celebrate the resurrection. We have no story how that unfolded for the centurion soldier. But I'm pretty sure with the renewed heart, a heart that was made of stone, turned into flesh, he is a part of God's kingdom, I'm pretty sure he was celebrating just like we are. So this morning, it's really important for us to understand You can't understand Easter or the Resurrection Day. You can't. It's just another holiday. It's a time we get together and we look for Easter eggs and share our Easter baskets and we have a great meal. Yeah, and we're struggling. Some of us are struggling with this idea of Christ being the Son of God and rose from the dead. But we cannot understand the Resurrection Day, Easter, unless we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, as Christians, if the resurrection is a lie, if we don't believe in the resurrection, then we are some of the most foolish people in this world. But instead, God has brought you to a place where we can sit back and celebrate this amazing day. And C.S. Lewis has this. He has this, and I love his quote. Jesus told people that their sins were forgiven. This makes sense only if he really was God, whose laws are broken, whose love is wounded in every sin. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying this really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said this, the sort of things Jesus would say to be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You can shut him up for a fool, you could spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet, call him Lord and God, but let us not come away with any patronizing nonsense about him being just a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He never intended it to. So as Christians, we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that we are part of his kingdom, that because of his resurrection, we can call God our Father. He has made us sons and daughters, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We live a life knowing that. We live the life that we can always respond to God. Father, I love you. Father, you're with me every day. Father, I need you. We also know we're a part of a great kingdom within a great kingdom, within a kingdom, that God has a purpose and a place and a purpose for us, that he's given you gifts, he's given you a partnership to be a part of his kingdom, and that we have a purpose to do. We have the purpose is, first of all, just to enjoy him in a world that's filled with hate and death. We can enjoy the fact that he has chosen us to be in a right relationship. But also we have purpose, a purpose to glorify God. That our lives matter, no matter who we are, what part of life you're in, what class of people, whatever, that our lives matter, that when we are out in the world, when we reflect God to anybody, to everybody at our work, at home, at a restaurant, at a convenience store, that we can reflect God, and that is purpose that God has given us. We celebrate the fact that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have that privilege. So I'm going to just pull back a little bit. I want you to know that we did not come here this morning by accident. We didn't come here by accident. God brought you here today. However that happened, an invitation, a tugging on your heart, being dragged in, being here because of your own free will. But God brought you here. That was his intended purpose. And I think some of you can relate to the centurion soldier, a person who is struggling with this idea of Jesus being one who calls himself God. You might be struggling with the fact that this resurrection thing, a person rising from the dead and claims that he is our Savior, that he saved us from eternal damnation. And I want you to make it very, very clear. God is not sending anyone to hell. That is a lie. God is trying to rescue us from the inevitable that comes with sin and death, and that is total separation from God. You might be that person this morning that have heard the stories of Jesus Christ, even witnessed Jesus somehow in your life. And God might be talking to you right now. God might be opening your eyes that this morning that you can confess Jesus is the Son of God, my Savior. You might be that person. I have no idea. But you do. Also, you might be that person who comes to church, you know, Christmas, Easter, and, you know, once in a while, and just never, you are a Christian, and you have confessed Christ to be your Lord and Savior, but you just never really, really got into that invitation that Christ calls us, and that is to be a disciple. See, one of the most frustrating Christians out there are those that has one foot here and one foot here. Confess to be a Christian, but at the same time, not really responding to that invitation to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. God might be tugging on your heart this morning to sit there and say, yes, God, today, I want to be a disciple. I want to be a part of your great kingdom. I am a part of your great kingdom, but help me to know more about what it means to love you and serve you. Help me to grow. Help me to be more committed. And you might be hearing that invitation right now from God. You might be a person here who has come here and given maybe church and worship one more opportunity. You've been hurt by a church, by those people. But you truly love worship. You love to sit back and just be in God's presence, to hear the music, to hear his word being sung, spoke, prayed. God might be saying, I want to help your brokenness. I want to repair that brokenness. Because church is a good thing. Being a part of a Christian family is a great thing. And for those same people that are coming here, maybe looking for that church home, trying to find connection, I want you to know that this church home, this church family is amazing. And they want to know you. They want to receive you. They want to love you and care for you. This is a church family that can provide that fellowship, that community that you've been striving to look for. It's not perfect. We have conflict. Every great relationship does, but we have this firm belief that God, Jesus, is our Lord and Savior, and he wants us to forgive, he wants us to reconcile, and he wants us to be a part of the family. So I'm going to do something a little different here right now. I'm just going to take 30, 40 seconds, and I want you to just pray. Close your eyes here in a minute, and just pray. If any of those responses, if any of those situations where you feel like you're right in, okay, God, this is the day I'm going to confess that you are my Lord and Savior. Or this is the day you're saying, yes, God, I want to receive the invitation to be a hardcore disciple of Jesus Christ. Or you just need God hearing you that he wants to heal that brokenness. Or maybe of a past bad situation from another church. Or maybe just trying to find a place where people will love you and accept you. God might be asking you to be a part of this family. So this is between you and God. So I want you just in silence speak to God, our Father in heaven, and share whatever is on your heart. And after a time of silence, I'll close. In Jesus' name, amen. For those people that may have made a decision, want more information, want more prayer, Ted, who's over here, okay, and also Karina, back there, the three of us are going to be over there after the worship service. And please come to us. Talk to us if you need prayer, if you just want to say, yes, I made that commitment. Christ is my Savior. Yes, I want to be that disciple of Christ. I want to commit my life to that invitation that God's called us. Yes, I want to be a part of a Christian family. Help me to know how I can do this. Or whatever prayer that you have this morning, we're going to be over there. Okay? Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Ta-da! Let's continue with worship.